I'd like to do an introduction first before we do the interview. What we have to tell you is Jane has such a busy schedule that a lot of you are probably hoping that she's live with us tonight, which she is not. She did not want to take phone calls because she's got a very hectic schedule, and as you'll find out, she's extremely busy. So earlier today, Cheryl and I conducted the interview 11 o'clock my time, and because of the way her schedule is, we had to do that, or we wouldn't be able to, you know, have Jane on because she couldn't do it tonight and last night in our regular time slot. So that's why we're here on a Wednesday. But we don't want to fool people and let you think that she's live here tonight when she's not. But I had a lot of fun, you know, teasing people because we didn't, you know, we wanted to make sure that we could do the interview without interruptions and stuff going on because of the phone calls and so forth. So we interviewed her earlier today, and we had a wonderful time, didn't we, Cheryl? It was a lot of fun. I think you'll all enjoy.
Yeah, and you whacked me right off the bat.
Yeah, and I think everybody will really enjoy the interview. Jane gave us a lot of her time, which she was only supposed to give us about 15 minutes. We went about 40.
Yes.
That's the talker in me. I just kept her wore down. But anyway, some of our
she
guests.
She had fun, though. You could tell she really had a. She was relaxed, and before we even started, she was pretty funny.
And what's fun is that, you know, when we are going to have some future guests, so stay tuned. I think you're going to really enjoy what we have lined up, and we'll have some surprises because we have a long summer, but we are lining up some guests, and those will be lives, and some people are not comfortable with live, and some people are comfortable with taking phone calls live, so it depends on who our guest is. Jane is somebody who's so busy, we just have to do when we can with her because, you know, she's a business, she's an actress, an artist, a writer. I mean, she's got six kids and all this stuff going on. So she's very busy. So we worked with her schedule, and we're very grateful. We want to thank you again, Jane, because we know she's leaving for Europe tomorrow. So before we start the interview, everybody, we want to thank all of our listeners out there who are staying up in the middle of the night to hear this interview, you know, all over the world. And for those of you that are listening, you know, right here in the U.S., thank you for your support and for your big welcome for Jane. It's just overwhelming how many people send in questions to be answered. And I tried to get in as many as I could for Jane for the time I was allowed. And so it's very nice of you to support us and help us out with, you know, getting questions for Jane because she's been interviewed by so many people. The same questions over and over, so we tried to change it around so that it wouldn't be the same answers over and over that, you know, because of she's been in the business since 1969 as a teenager to now, and so she's been asked everything under the sun. So we wanted to do a little different so that we could kind of change things up and maybe get her to relax a little bit, which I think we did, Cheryl, where we got to, you know, see Jane the person more so than Jane the well, we've seen her as the actress, but it was fun because she could relax with us and not feel like it's one of these, you know, business infomercial type commercials.
And you can tell at the end she lost track of time. She goes, "Oh, I gotta go."
But it was a lot of fun. So I'd like to do my introduction, and I just wanted to thank everybody out there for tuning in and for supporting us and sticking by us through as we built our audience. And now we're worldwide, and we're having a lot of fun, and we're growing every day. And it's just amazing how many hits we're getting. And hopefully tonight we'll get a lot of hits for Jane. So without further ado, I would like to say that we have our special guest tonight for the second time, actress, artist, and author Jane Seymour, who is popular and famous for such movies as Live and Let Die, Somewhere in Time, East of Eden, Onassis, The Richest Man in the World, War and Remembrance, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Wedding Crashers, and her new movie soon to be out, Love, Wedding, Marriage. She will also be doing another movie, will be out this summer, called Lake Effects. And she's also producing movies like Waiting for Forever, and she has online movies. I mean, she's everywhere, and books, and she's author of, I think, six, eight books. I didn't look at everything before I came on, but she's also won some very prestigious, I can't even say it, prestigious awards. She's won the Saturn Award for Somewhere in Time in 1980, the Golden Globe for East of Eden in 1982, Emmy Award for Onassis, The Richest Man in the World, where she played Maria Callas, the famous opera singer, and that was in 1988. The Golden Globe Awards for Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And I think I mentioned today, Cheryl, on the show, 94, and I've seen on the awards list it was 96, but, you know, whatever. And I used to know all this stuff by heart, you know, years ago and did all that stuff, but I should know that. And she also won a Golden Boot Award, and I cannot remember what year, but I know it was towards the end of Dr. Quinn, and that's the Cowboy Hall of Fame, one of their highest awards and honors from the Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, you know, museum. And then a Family Film Award she won for Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and I can't remember what year, but it was for the Genesis Award, where you do awards for, like, nature, and they had shows dealing with wolves and with eagles and horses and so forth. So they won some awards for Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And then in 2000, she won the OBE Award, which is the Officer of the British Empire, and she became a U.S. citizen and holds dual citizenship with the United Kingdom and USA, and I think that was around 2006, 2005. Again, I don't have my list in front of me. And then she's also involved with a lot of charities, and she is involved with the Christopher Reeve Foundation. She has been the International Ambassador for Child Help USA for over 25 years. She is the Ambassador for UNICEF. She is on the board of the American Red Cross. And she is an honorary chair for Kids Say Yes to the Arts, which is about abused children in the Hollywood, Los Angeles area who learn dance and the arts. And so she's very active with all these things, and she's also in the initiative right now for water, because water is one of our resources that we are running out of, and she has been making documentaries on the awareness of our water shortages, and that it will be more than gasoline and everything will be the deal with water. So there's my introduction. So Cheryl, whenever you're ready, that's the highlights of Jane Seymour there. And if you want to learn more about her, you can go to janeseymour.com and find all her website information. And I'll be telling you where she's going to be appearing after our interview.
Jane, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi,
okay,
Jane.
Perfect. Hi, Pam.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What we're going to do is I have a section of questions, and I will just start asking them because I know you're on a limited time, and we'll see if we can get through a lot. We've had people from all over the world submit questions for you.
Great.
And Cheryl's there in Kansas doing the switchboards, and, of course,
okay.
I'm up here in Northern California, well, middle California. And so we're all set. So we really appreciate you coming in. And like I told you, this will be inserted live tonight in our live show.
Great.
So you're being taped to go live. So
and
the first
people
section,
around the world will hear you, too.
Okay. Okay.
She's really, you know, she does this all the time, Cheryl. Okay, I'm going to first start asking you questions about Castle, and then I will ask you questions about some of your art and the New York Art Expo, and then a couple of questions about the foundation, the Open Hearts Foundation, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the first question I'm going to ask you is, how did your guest appearance on Castle come about?
I just received a phone call from my agent one day, and he said they've offered you a role on Castle, and I've been incredibly busy recently, so I wasn't sure I'd have time to do it, but the dates they needed me and the dates I had available fit, and I read the episode, and I thought it was really good, and everyone around me is huge fans of Castle, so I just thought it'd be fun to do.
So that means that your family and everybody around you has very good taste, Jane.
Oh, yes. No, I know, Pam. I know it's your favorite thing.
I know. Well, so, and James watches it. He told me that he watched the show. He likes the show real
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we all watched it to, you know, see what I was going to be doing. And I had seen it once before. And, you know, we just don't have a lot of time. We're so busy that it's hard for us to watch any show. But when we do, we tend to catch them online because we can't always watch them when they come on air. So
right.
We try to catch the good ones and see what's up.
Okay, so while you were on the set, what was the atmosphere like of working on Castle compared to, say, Dr. Quinn? Because you did Dr. Quinn for six seasons. So was the surrounding effects and everything the same as like on Dr. Quinn, or was it a little bit different?
Well, obviously, it'd be very different because on Dr. Quinn, we were, you know, in the middle of a state park and dressed in period costumes with, you know, 40 horses and dogs and all kinds of things around us. And this is a sound stage in Hollywood. But the people were really lovely, and everyone on the show was really, really nice. And Stana was lovely, and Nathan, and And, you know, the director is someone that I had almost worked with before and really wanted to work with me. And one of the producers is somebody that I've known from a million years ago. So he showed up to say hi as well, which was fun. So it was it was almost like a social event in a funny way.
So, well, did you know that? Do you remember Zia from Dr. Quinn? Remember Zia?
Yes.
She works on that studio lot.
That's right.
I saw her.
And then one of the nurses, she works on it too, I think.
Right,
so,
Mary? Was
yeah,
it Mary?
Mary Quinn.
Right, because I saw them when I was visiting the Castle set last season finale. So that's really neat. So did you prepare for the role of Gloria Chambers, which is your character on this episode that will be airing this Monday, March 21st at 10:01 p.m. They always start at a weird time, 10:01, right after Dancing with the Stars premiere. So did you prepare for your role of Gloria Chambers? Did you watch a soap opera such as One Life to Live?
I didn't need to, really, because I was playing the mother of the victim. So I was actually nothing to do with the soap opera at all, other than being related to the writer.
Okay.
But, yes, I have seen some soap operas, and, you know, I catch bits here and bits there over the years, but I've never really followed a soap particularly. But that wasn't, you know, really necessary for my character, because she wasn't actually a part of the soap.
Now, one of our India listeners from India wanted to know if you've ever been to India and if you've ever seen a Hindu soap opera. They're huge there.
I've never seen a soap opera there, but I have been to India, and I love India. I went to Rajasthan and New Delhi about 40 years ago, and I haven't been back since, but I'm hoping to go soon.
Was that when you went to go visit where your mom was? No, she wasn't in prison.
No, that
camp
was
there.
Indonesia. That's a whole other continent.
That
yeah.
was different time, too. That was later with Sally and Annie, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
No, India, I went there around the time that I did the Bond film. And
right,
I went
72?
With a, yes, I went with a famous English photographer, actually Italian, called Mirella Ricciardi, who had done a book called Vanishing Africa. And I offered my services as a model for 2 weeks in India, and she photographed me there and all the old temples and out, you know, and it was pretty amazing. We did stuff for a clothing company whose clothes I really liked in England, but mainly it was, you know, 2 weeks of really experiencing India in a wonderful way.
So were you in that book? Were you in his photography book
no,
or anything?
No, not in Vanishing Africa, obviously. That had already come out. No, I was.
Right.
The photographs were published by, I think it was the Daily Telegraph Color Supplement.
You think
I'm sure
I would know
find
this.
Them somewhere. I'm sure they're in your ex collection of me somewhere.
Which you have now. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. Have you worked with any of the cast from Castle, such as Susan Sullivan, which was CBS, you know, with Falcon Crest back in the 80s and 90s?
No, I never worked with any of them, but except for Cameron, of course, who was on Dancing with the Stars.
Right. And so you'd never met him before or anything?
No.
You
no.
never passed him at the CBS parties?
No.
Did you have any say in what your character wore on this episode, or the hairstyles or makeup with?
Yeah, a little bit. I put some thoughts into it, but they, you know, had a pretty good idea of what they wanted, and we all seemed to agree. You know, we needed a contrast, and we got one. I think you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, it yeah. airs Monday night.
That's right.
I've seen promos and photographs
yeah.
of you
yeah.
and different things. We don't want to give any spoilers away because, well, people love the spoilers, of course, but there are promos out there. They put teasers out there, little bits of these scenes, so we know that you do have a scene with Cameron Matheson. So when you did you I seen that you or I saw I should say you took a picture with Red Carpet Luke, who is the costume and wardrobe designer on the show.
Oh, yes.
And he took a picture of you before you were prepping for the for what you were going to wear. And did he dress your character and give final approval, or did one of his members of his team?
No, he was very involved with it. Absolutely. He was involved. And actually, Sherry, who used to do Dr. Quinn, she was there with me that day. So,
Sherry Engel.
Sherry Engel. So we all kind of chipped in. Yeah.
Great. Well, from the ABC promos and from the photographs, I know that you have scenes with Nathan and Stana, who's Castle and Beckett. You also share scenes with John, who is Detective Esposito, and you share scenes with Cameron Matheson. What was it like acting with Cameron after having danced on Dancing with the Stars with him on the same season and back in 2007? What was it like working with him actually acting?
Well, you know, we obviously caught up on our experiences from Dancing with the Stars. I only ever saw him on the days that we actually performed because he was commuting from New York. So I knew him a little bit, but he was very friendly. He was great. And, you know, a great fun was had by all. I mean, I didn't want to leave the set. I mean, we were having way too much fun, and they didn't really want me to leave. They kept trying to figure out something else they could get me to do, and I told them if they ever found anything, I'd be very happy to return.
Yeah, you could come back as a character in some way, because I don't actually know what your character does, if she's the villain, if she's just the victim's mother, or if she... Cameron plays your son-in-law, right?
Yes.
Well, he should have played your boyfriend. Just my take on it.
Okay.
Well, on the downtime, in between takes, did you paint on the set? Did you show people your artwork, or did you bring your art book or anything, or did you just talk to the actors in between takes?
No, we just hung out and talked. You know, it's not a set that you'd paint on, and they were working pretty quick. We were doing one thing after another. I might have played, I think in the makeup trailer I played some of Johnny's music, and they all loved that. So
PT5?
Yes, we've just... good news, we've just put another 5 new songs up, so there's now 10 songs up.
And where can they go to? I know they have it. He has a Twitter page.
They have their own website, pt5music.com, but if you go to janeseymour.com, you can access it directly from there.
Find the link.
And it's free.
That's from the main website there. All right. Well, here's another thing. Did you know that the one who played John, his name is John Hortus, he played Esposito, Detective Esposito, the Latin lover or whatever. He has had a crush on you, a huge crush, growing up. Did he even tell you that? He thinks you are so hot, and he was so excited when you came on the set. He was tweeting to everybody how excited he was that he was working with you. Did anybody tell you that he had a huge crush on you at all?
They might have. They might have, but he was fun. Everyone was fun. They was, you know, it was more like a kind of a reunion, except I didn't know the people.
it is a very friendly set, isn't it?
Very,
I mean, they are so
friendly.
Nice.
Very mm-hmm. friendly set, very talented people. I think the first day's work I did was in the middle of the night, so I was exhausted. I was barely awake, which was not easy. And they had a very long scene, and I was, you know, just at the very end of the scene, and I there was a sort of certain trepidation that I would screw up the one line that I had, you know, after they'd been talking for 3 pages. So, you know, I got slightly nervous about making sure I didn't screw it up, but of course, you know, it was fine. It all went well.
Are you going to be going to the premiere for Dancing with the Stars? I know a lot of times you're in the audience.
No,
for
I'm
going
to be in Spain. I'm going to Madrid day after tomorrow. I'm doing a campaign for atrial fibrillation. It's something that's for the rest of the world, not for England or America.
Okay,
and James,
so you're gonna...
James is going with me, and then I go to New York after that for Art Expo. And
so you're going to be in Spain, and you won't get to see this. Okay,
no.
So you're not going to be at the premiere. I'm sure Cameron will be there, because right after it, they're going to show your episode, so they're going to probably want to promote that with some of the past Dancing with the Stars cast in the audience. So with the new season starting on Dancing with the Stars, have you seen the lineup? What do you think of it? And is there anybody in the lineup you think will have a good shot at winning that you're rooting for or would vote for this
season?
Well,
you know, I honestly, I don't really know who they all are. I mean, I know Kirstie Alley, so I'm sure she's very popular, and I'm sure people would love to see her succeed. And but
Sugar
usually,
Ray Leonard.
Usually the you know, the male athlete is usually the best contender. That's
right.
Usually who gets her, unless you're a figure skater. Figure skaters and male athletes, those are usually the ones that have the best chances.
Right. I don't even know who's in the cast lineup this year. I know Kirstie Alley is and Sugar Ray Leonard. I can't remember any of them. Can't remember any more of the people.
Well, I'm sure it'll be great. It always is.
Yeah. Well, if they had a return of favorites, Dancing with the Stars, would you consider doing it again, such as a mini season of episodes? Of returning.
Sure. Past. I mean, I've been dancing with Jonathan Roberts. I did
right.
a live show recently. I've just been booked to do another one in San Diego. So, you know, every once in a while, I have great fun dancing with him. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Great.
And I guess it went really well because they keep trying to book me to do more.
I heard about the one you just did.
I don't think Dancing with Stars would pick me as one of their favorites because I wasn't in the finals. You know, I think they pick the winners and the finalists.
The winners and put them all in a return of the winners
probably.
Or something. Well, you never know. You never know.
You
did
You're
beautiful
one of our
dancing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you did. I loved your waltz on there with Tony. You did the waltz and all that. But you had a lot of chaos going on your season. Your mom passed away, Mika. You had the house almost burned down. And
twice.
You got and sick. You got sick on sushi, didn't you? And was
and
know,
I got sick of the fish. They know it's the food they served on the set.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I know. I ended up in the emergency room.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't funny. That was a lot of pressure.
It was a great experience. It was really fun. And, you know, people still to this day, they stop me wherever I go and talk to me about the dancing more than anything else I've ever done. Curious.
Well, you picked up a lot of fans from Dancing with the Stars besides your – I mean, you have such fan base. You've got the Battlestar Galactica people, the Bond people, the Somewhere in Time people, the Dr. Quinn, then the art, then the jewelry, then the books, and then Dancing with the Stars. And now you're going to have this huge Castle base because a lot of the Castle fans actually were big Dr. Quinn fans. So they were very excited to see you on this. We had hoped that you would have a real dramatic role so you could come back like you were a lawyer or something or district attorney or something so they could do you as a recurring character. But have you seen this episode yet? Are you waiting to see it when you get back?
I haven't seen
Spain
it yet. They've told me they're going to send one over today, so I'll probably see it later today. But I've just done since 6 o'clock this morning, and all the, you know, the people from the, you know, the web, whatever they're called, the internet reviewers and everything, they all loved it, and they all said I was terrific in it. So
the bloggers,
bloggers, they all loved it. So I haven't heard anyone say anything other than that they loved it. So hopefully you'll all love it too.
Well, it's getting great reviews, like you said. Everybody, there's a big buzz about it, so we're looking forward to it. And I know you have a screening room at home, so maybe you can screen it and bring a friend to Castle Party and host your own party and have all your friends over to watch. It'd be great. They have a campaign, bring a friend to Castle Party, you know, bring a friend on Monday nights to get people, more and more people to watch, because we're up against Hawaii 5-0 and Harry's Law, which is the new Kathy Bates series. So we have really good ratings and a new season ahead that they've already renewed. But it would be fun to, you know, have screening parties. But any fun moments happen on the set of Castle that you remember, fun things that happened? You know, between scenes or shooting your scenes? That you can remember?
Just, you know, we have away and, you know, talking about life and things that have gone on and what was happening. And, no, we had a lot of fun.
Somebody's beeping you.
I don't know. I'm sorry about that. We picked the line that nobody usually uses, so I don't know why that happened. It must be a child of mine.
Well, I know you you have your blog, Serenity, Joy and Serenity, and I know you posted on February 10th that you were working on the Castle set, and then you posted again you were on the set on February the 14th, which was Valentine's Day. Did anybody on the set know the next day was your birthday? Did anybody wish you a happy birthday there, you remember?
I might have mentioned it. I'm not sure. I don't remember, but I did have a fun party on my birthday. A lot of friends showed up, and of course, we were getting ready for the big foundation event for Open Heart. So that was what was happening that week. We were really gearing up for that, and my sisters were in town from England, and we had a great time. It was a great week.
Well, I know that the other day I was thinking about you because I remember out on the set of Dr. Quinn, when we were talking about funny things that happen on the set, the other day this bee landed on my blouse. And I don't know if it was a yellow jacket or a wasp, but I remember I just flicked it off the other day because spring is coming here. I remember we were out on the set and a yellow jacket, I think, went down your blouse. Do you remember that?
I definitely do. I took all my clothes off in front of everybody like, ah!
We didn't know what you were doing. You were just running down the street screaming and nobody knew what was going on.
No, I just ripped my blouse off and tried to get rid of the whatever it was. Yeah. Yeah, much to the surprise of everyone.
Yeah, well, it was just, you know, it was just funny because I thought about that all these years later, that this bee just landed on me, and I just thought about, remember when it happened to you and how crazy it was, and everybody was laughing and you were running down the street screaming, and it was just uncharacteristic of you, you know. So, but anyways, to end up the castle questions, I know that executive producer and director Rob Bowman is Castle's director, and you know, and his dad directed you in the most episodes of Dr. Quinn, which is Chuck Bowman, and I think that's who you're talking about that you saw on the set. So did he come down and say hello to you?
Oh yes, I saw him on a number of occasions. He was around and came and said hello, and then also one of the exec producers is an old friend of mine, Armian Bernstein. He was around. He came and said hello, and yeah, it was fun.
It's great. Would you like to work on any other primetime shows like Castle in the near future, or do a recurring role?
You know what? I'm always open to you know, to what's out there, and I've been meeting on various projects recently, and actually all for ABC.
Great.
So we'll see. There was some good stuff out there. The timing wasn't necessarily right for both of us. So I'm sure something good will happen. I've got some great movies coming out this year I'm very excited about. Obviously, our movie that we produce, Waiting for Forever, that's fantastic, that's coming out on DVD in time for Mother's Day. And then that's with Rachel Bilson and Tom Sturridge and Richard Jenkins and Blythe Danner and Nikki Blonsky. It's great. And James directed that. And then I've
James
got
Keech.
Two that I starred in, The Lake Effects, which I've seen, which is terrific, and they're just finishing that up. And then Love, Wedding, Marriage, which is a great movie with Mandy Moore and Kellan Lutz and Jim Brolin and Jessica Soar. So there's plenty of good stuff coming up, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of exciting things. Oh, actually, I guess the next thing everyone will see me doing is I'm going to be hosting and doing special coverage from England for the Royal Wedding for 2.5
I was going to ask you that because you said you'd love to go over and be a commentator.
I
am.
I've already started. I'm doing it for Entertainment Tonight.
Great, because I know you were wanting to do that, and you know the royal family through Prince Andrew. And you had your OBE. Which year did you get your OBE?
I got the OBE in the year 2000. And over the years, I've been presented to the Queen. I know Prince Philip. I know Prince Charles. I did know Princess Diana and Prince Andrew and some other royals, you know, Prince and Princess Michael and Lord Lichfield. So, yeah. I know a few of them. I do not, however, know the royal couple, but they look like wonderful people.
They do. I hope they're very happy, and I hope they don't get all the crazy mania that Princess Diana had to go through. But in saying that, you know, if you ever do ABC, there's a new series out again. Well, it's just starting this month with Dana Delaney called Body of Proof. I think you'd be excellent on there. And she plays an ME, which you're no stranger to playing a doctor.
Yeah,
and
there
it's just a new show that would just have been perfect for you had they not cast Dana Delaney. But speaking of Love, Wedding, and Marriage, I do have some questions about that. And I just saw the trailer that Perez Hilton has out there, and the buzz is great, Jane. There are so many people excited about this movie coming out. And any news on that? I know it's been sold to distributors, so will it go into theaters, you think, or will it go to... you know, on demand, or do you have any idea?
I have no idea. They haven't told me yet, but I have seen the movie, and it is terrific. It plays really well.
It looks
so
funny.
It's very
funny,
and my character is hysterical, so that was really fun. Really
now,
fun.
You worked before with James Brolin. You did Marriage of Convenience, which was a wonderful movie and got great ratings, and you've also worked with Mandy Moore. What was it like getting back with both of those again after a few years?
I hadn't worked with Mandy Moore
before. Oh, I thought you did work with her on Modern Men. I thought she did an episode of Modern Men.
Was she in that?
Yeah, I thought she was in that. Maybe not. But you did a series called Modern Men, and I thought, I'll have to look. I thought she had, but I don't know that much about her.
Well, there you go. I think I would have remembered, but clearly I didn't do a scene with her. So.
Well, Kellan Lutz.
Yeah, he was hot.
He seems to be very popular from, the Twilight movies? Because I
very,
haven't seen
very
them.
Popular. And Jessica Soar from Gossip Girl. And, of course, Chris Lloyd from Back to the Future.
Okay. Well, yeah. And he was supposed to do a play with you last Christmas.
Yes.
Christmas Carol and all that. Yeah,
Christmas Carol.
Okay. So how did you prepare? How do you prepare to play for a character given a role in a movie or show? How much prep time do you use and script reads do you do to prepare yourself?
It depends on how much time they give me and on, you know, what kind of a role it is. But, you know, sometimes they do things very short notice. You know, they give you like a day or two.
Yeah.
But Love, Wedding, Marriage, I mean, once I know who the character is and I just, you know, I learn the lines and show up and play it with what I get, with, you know, what the other people have to show as well. So, I had a pretty good idea, handle on that character, and Lake Effects was also beautifully written, so I spent a lot of time with the girls who played my daughters and really developed a relationship between the three of us, and we spent a lot of time. We usually spend a lot of time rehearsing off-set so that by the time we come to the set, we all know what we're doing. They work very fast these days.
It sounds, you were telling us all about it one night, and it sounds wonderful. That one is, I'm very interested in that whole thing with the whole community coming together and volunteering the houses and the cars and the food and everything to get that movie made. Sounds like it's going to be really good. When you do real historical characters, such as the Wallace Simpson and the woman he loved in 1988, what do you do a lot of research, or do you try to stay away from the research of them so you get your own take on that?
No. I do as much research as I can. If I'm playing a real person, then there is research to be found. And the only problem with that was that I was scheduled to play, I think, Maria Callas, and I was working on that. And then suddenly that was postponed till after Christmas, and they quickly said, would you play Wallace Simpson? And they gave me literally one day's notice. So I was on an aeroplane to England with about 8 very heavy books that I was, reading and scouring for information and ideas of what I would do with Wallace. And I just read and read and read. And according to members of the royal family and people who knew Wallace, they were amazed by some of the nuances that I gave in the performances. They thought that I came up with stuff that they didn't think anyone knew. So.
I love that movie.
I was happy about that. Yeah, it was a good movie.
You age in it, and at the end, when he has passed away, and you're walking down that long hallway and everything, it's just a wonderful movie. And the whole thing, you know, it was another, you know, you worked with Olivia de Havilland, which is one of my favorite actresses, as well as Julie Harris in that movie. Both of them were, you know, long-standing, well-known actresses in their time, and you played with a long list of actors and actresses, Robert Mitchum, Omar Sharif, and Sir John Gilgood, you know, when you did War and Remembrance, all the actors you went with.
Yes.
You've worked with so many interesting people. So how is movie making different from the way they approached it as the big stars of the 40s, 50s, and 60s who were working with you in the 80s to the stars of today? Do you think there's any difference in how they work on the sets now, or is there a big difference in what you see from the movie making of, say, those professional stars?
Well, I mean, the whole style of acting and movie making is different to begin with, and the material is very different. And in the old days, they had you under a studio contract, so they always made sure you looked perfect and your lighting was perfect, and they'd spend hours and hours and hours and teams of people making sure everything was perfection. And, you know, in the world of the independent movie, sometimes you have to do a lot of it yourself, so it's much... much harder. You really have to know what you're doing, and in some cases even show up with your own costumes, and you know, it's a whole different game. But you know, it's a different world. So I you know, the old timers are wonderful, and a great privilege was to work with them, and I think, you know, actors love to act, so whether they're starring or whether they're, you know, playing a character role or a you know, a small part in something, it's as Laurence Olivier said, there are no small parts, just small actors.
Well, as far as working on, you just mentioned Onassis, The Richest Man in the World, that's where you won your Emmy.
Yes.
And then you won a Golden Globe in 1994 for Dr. Quinn for Best Dramatic Actress. So when you went to the Emmys in 1988, were you expecting, were you ready for a prepared speech, or did you think somebody else was going to win that?
No, I never, ever, ever on any occasion ever had a prepared speech, because I was convinced I wasn't going to win. So, you know, I just went there for the party, basically.
Well, so did you prepare a lot for that role because you played an opera singer?
Oh, yes, I did an enormous amount of preparation for that role, and I learned all the arias in three different languages, and I was given an amazing amount of research on Maria Callas by they're probably the aficionado of Maria Callas, a man called Alan Sievright, and I'd met him through a mutual friend, and when he accepted that I was going to play Maria, even though I didn't really look like Maria, he decided to give me all his archival material, and in fact, he ended up being involved with the staging of the operas as well. But that was an amazing experience, because I really did have, you know, a little bit more time to prepare, and I was definitely given lots of great material. But again, you know, we didn't have the budget to do, you know, the costumes and the hair the way it maybe should have been done. But the hairdresser won an Emmy for best hair.
And, I remember that.
We did it by putting temporary color in my hair and getting some cheap wigs and cutting them up and, you know, making it work. So sometimes when you don't have the budget, sometimes you just use your ability and you pull it off.
Your creative senses.
Yep. I showed her all the photographs and I said, this is how she looked on that day. This is how she looked on that day. So it wasn't really open to creative, you know, coming up with something different. It was very specific. This is what she looked like. That's what she did with her hair. Let's see what we can do to make that happen. So that's
she had a sad life, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Very much so.
Well, you've done TV, miniseries, film and stage, Amadeus on Broadway in 1980. Which was the hardest or most challenging for you to do as a performer, do you think?
You know, I think everything's been challenging at different times for different reasons. I don't really think of it that way. I just think about, you know, the fact that I really enjoyed the process. You know, when you do a play, you rehearse it so many times. You've done it thousands of times by the time the public sees it, but it's always nerve-wracking. You know, anything live is always nerve-wracking.
Now, you did Amadeus in 1980, and
yes.
you met David Flynn, right? Wasn't that around the time you met David?
I'd already met David. I was dating him before that, yes.
So then didn't you get married, if I remember right, on John Barry's farm in New York?
John Barry's
composer?
Estate. It's not a farm. It's
Okay, because I know he recently passed away and he did
yes.
beautiful music for Somewhere in Time. But something just clicked with me about Amadeus and New York and John Barry.
Yeah.
I haven't did my research, but I knew that you had gotten married on one of his houses during that time.
He has a house in England as well, but yes, we got married in their house, in their garden.
Now, do you have a long range mentor who has stood out for you in your career, or have your mentors changed over the years?
No specific mentor, no.
Nobody. What about a favorite teacher from school? Mm. Anybody?
Well, I mean, I left school when I was 17, and I
right.
was doing ballet at that time, so there was nobody really who...
Stood out,
know,
a drama teacher, ballet
drama
teacher,
or
anything?
No. I mean, there was a woman called Eve Pettinger, who was my ballet teacher, and you know, I appreciated her efforts at trying to get me to dance, but... Lord Attenborough was probably one of the first major directors I ever worked for, and he was very supportive.
Oh, and A Lovely War.
Yes, from A Lovely War. But I was just a chorus girl with one line and that. So, no.
Well, have you ever gone after a role based on, say, not so much the writing as who the director is going to be or who the co-stars are, more so than the writing material?
You know, at different times in my life, I've done things for different reasons. And, you know, sometimes the choice is thin and I've, you know, had a script that wasn't as good and we've tried to make it better. And worked with really good people to try and make it better. And sometimes it's been great material, and you know the way they edited it or did it, it you know maybe didn't come out as well as one hoped. But more often than not, I've been pretty happy with most of the things I've done. I think I've really you know been blessed to be given some of the roles that I got. I've definitely had a great run.
had a vast variety.
I still do, you know. I still get offered things all the time, so that's a good thing.
Well, speaking of that, my favorite role of yours of all time, even, well, besides Michaela Quinn, was the role you played as Marguerite in The Scarlet Pimpernel with Anthony Andrews. That's my all-time favorite. I just watched it the other night thinking about this interview and thought, I'm going to go watch Jane again. I've seen it a zillion times, and, I mean, it's more of a light, well, it's not a light role since it's about the guillotines and the revolution and stuff, but there's a lot of fun in it. And do you, I know you've been asked this probably a million zillion times because I already think I know the answer, but it could change. What is your favorite or one of your favorite all-time movies besides, you know, Somewhere in Time? Anything that you really love working on that you said that was the best time of my life?
You know, there were roles that were just fantastic roles, but not necessarily, you know, the happiest work experience. And
Warm Remembrance.
And East of Eden. But they were both incredible roles. Even playing Maria Callas, you know, that wasn't necessarily a happy time, but it was a fantastic role. You know, obviously I had great fun doing Wedding Crashers, and, you know, any of the comedies that I've been involved with have always been, you know, they're always a lot of fun. And Summer in Time, of course, was just a magical summer that everyone that was there remembers, and that was just, you know, a bit of magic, that.
Well, looking at your career, you haven't worked with a lot of the same directors twice, a couple of them, but mainly you've been with, I mean, so many people and the long list of actors and actresses and locations for A War in Remembrance. I mean, didn't that take like 2 years of filming in a bunch of countries?
Five.
And five?
5 years.
Oh, my God, because I remember with Heart, which is one of my favorite leading men of yours besides The Sun Also Rises, you know. But War in Remembrance, I think Natalie Jastrow, the things you got to do in that movie, the vast difference of emotions and stuff, did that wear down on you personality with being depressed? Because it was a very depressing film and time.
It was a very tough role to play, and yes, it hung on for a long time. Actually, I've just finished a painting of myself as Natalie Jastrow.
All right, that I want to see.
A couple of weeks ago, it's really good. Everyone thinks it's my best painting, but I'm just looking at it right now. I'm in the art studio right now, and I've been painting.
Well, is it her before prison camp?
It's her in probably in Theresienstadt. She's
okay.
I'm wearing a regular clothes, but very humble clothes. But I've got the yellow star.
Now, with that film, my favorite scene, and this is probably an odd scene, but it's when Natalie's in the train and they're taking them to the prison camp.
Eating the apple.
Eating the apple.
Yeah.
The range of emotions and that little old lady next to you that was, you know, so upset and stuff. That is my favorite part of the entire series. And then when they find her hiding under the train.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm losing my voice here. Sorry about that. Cheryl, you have a question for Jane? That Cheryl has a question because this is ending my question about movies. Cheryl?
Yes, I have a quick one. My question's about the technical continuity aspect of being an actress. This is something I've personally always been curious about, of course, as a member of the audience. While shooting a scene and, say, you're gesturing with your right hand and then saying your lines or with your lines, and then you have to shoot that scene again and again from different angles and retakes, how do you remember to do the same gestures or facial expressions at the same time again and again in, say, a complicated or emotional scene? Is it like choreographed in your mind while you're doing it, and it's like a dance and you're doing it all at the same time? I've always been really curious about that.
No, I mean, I think you try to have a fresh approach to it, but if you do at a certain point pick up a cup and eat something or drink something or, you know, do something, you know, turn around or whatever, you have to do it exactly the same. That's just, you know, doing continuity. And there's a lady or a man on the set, usually a lady with a book, and she's staring at your every move and listening to every word you say and every movement, and she will, you know, say we have to do it again because this wasn't right, and then you have to get it right the next time. Or the director will look at the scene and just say, you know, that's not a problem because that's not where I'm going to edit. I'm going to edit later, or I'm not going to edit that part. That's going to be a oneer. So it just depends on what the shot is and whether it has to match or not. I don't think a lot of people really worry about it too much, but I'm usually pretty good about continuity, and I watch a lot of editing, so I know when they're going to have a problem or not.
Well, I like Pam, I went back and watched a couple of your movies this past week, and you're very good in it. I mean, if you pick up a cup or eat something, you do it at the same time from every angle, and I was very fascinated about how an actress does that, besides having someone standing off to the side to say, you need to do that again, but you're
good
at it.
Sometimes they put two cameras on, you know, so they'll have different angles.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, it's exactly the same, so they can cut from one to another. And but as I said, there is somebody whose job is making sure that that's all correct. And they're also supposed to make sure that, you know, the clothing and the hair and everything's exactly the same. And as you know, when you watch television and movies, invariably there's something you can see that's not right. And you can imagine they spend hours and hours in the editing room trying to fix it. But if it's going to ruin the performance, they're not going to mess with it. So, you know, sometimes you just have to accept that it's not perfect.
Well, thank you. I was always curious about how that actually works.
You're welcome.
Well, and also the lighting. Jane knows the lighting and the marks real well. You know, you know right where the cameras are and everything. To wrap up that part of the interview, do you have a favorite director or writer that you've had from movies, not so much Dr. Quinn, but in movies in general that you just really love their directing or the way they wrote the script?
I've worked with lots of terrific directors. I mean, the one I've worked with the most who's, you know, I really appreciate is James. I mean, he's a
right.
great director, and he does amazing work on script. But, you know, I'm afraid I have to leave. I'm like way over the time that I have. I'm sorry.
Well, I will tell everybody about your art expo appearances and that your son, Sean Flynn, will be there.
Yes, he's showing his art, and he's already showing it in, I think, three or four galleries, his photography. And if you go online, again, to janeseymour.com, you can preview it and see it.
Is Kay Jewelers going to be with you at this art
nope.
show next week?
Nope.
So they're not there this year, just your art and Sean's photography.
Yes.
Well, Jane, we really appreciate the time you gave us, and
You're
I pretty
welcome.
Much had most of the questions asked. And so thank you for your time, and enjoy your time in Spain, and we will talk to you again sometime.
Thank you.
Take care, Jane.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.